Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, podcasters. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast as a podcast. I'm guessing that you're listening to this on a phone or a tablet or online. But anyway, I want to drop in and say to you, by the way, we do publish this show over on YouTube. Now, there's plenty of YouTubers over there. There's about 1,000 people on YouTube listen to this. So a fraction of the people that listen to this as a podcast. But, you know, I thought I'd mention it in case it's convenient, in case it's a good way of you listening to the show as an alternative if you ever you can't do it as a podcast. Also, YouTube's super convenient for the comments section, and I spend loads of time in there chatting to people, so if ever you want to leave a little comment, that's a good place as well for things like question of the week. Here we go then. It's a Saturday special this week, and I'm delighted to have sat down earlier this week with Patrick Sheriff. Now, he's the business development director of Engenie. They're a charging company here in the UK. Really innovative company. Relatively new in the grand scheme of things. They offer a fast and simple charging service. People talk a lot about wanting to get rid of the RFID tags and having a tag for every different token or something. Let us just tap our card. Let's have an app. It's got to be easier. That's exactly what they do. They've got some great technology, got some very fast chargers, by the way, ready for the next-gen cars that aren't even on the road yet, and a really interesting business model where landlords, so I mean like landowners, so landlords of shopping centres, leisure parks, those kind of places, at the moment don't see a benefit to having EV chargers. Well, in Engenie, their business model is to go in, do all the costs up front, so no capital expenditure, no OPEX as well, so no operating expenditure. However, they share the revenue with the landowners, the landlords, which is a fascinating thing. And of course, all of a sudden, that pricks up their attention. They're like, okay, so now I can earn money from EV drivers and I attract them in to my, whatever, like I say, shopping centre, leisure park, out-of-town retail park, that kind of thing. So let's find out more about that, and let's welcome Patrick Sheriff to the podcast. One of the things that I'm able to do, thanks to the generous support of the Patreon supporters, is do stuff like this and bring you, hopefully, a very entertaining programme, very informative programme. I learnt a lot this week, by the way. I wish I had longer. I think you'll learn a lot. I think you'll enjoy it. Let me know in the comments if there's any feedback that you have about today's interview, another Saturday special. As Patrick welcomed me to the Engenie boardroom, I asked him just to kick us off with a little overview of the company.
Hi there. Yes, I have been involved in the business for a year and a half, which is about the sort of time that the business has been going. We launched the business specifically to address a specialist area within the market, which is rapid charging. Public pay-as-you-go. Mm. We're looking at putting our chargers in prime locations for what we call premium convenience charging. So we identify key sites, locations where there is dwell time, en route, top up. Those are the sort of three areas that we look for. So we're primarily focused on towns and cities in the UK. Less focused on motorway service stations. We're leaving that to others. Mm. And what we're getting a fantastic response in so much that we are very customer focused in what we do. When we choose locations and sites, we look for accessibility, we look for easy to use, we look for the litmus test for if you're a female driver, I want to feel safe at night charging in a location which is well lit, that there's local amenities, so there's I go for a coffee, I can go and get my dry cleaning, I can collect something from Amazon locker, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a whole new experience, and you know, while you're doing all that, you can charge your vehicle at one of our rapid chargers.
Right. So rapid chargers, I talk a lot on the podcast about the right charger for the right place, because everyone says we need more chargers and faster chargers, and I always go, no, you. 70% of people can charge at home in the UK. So most people would charge overnight. So it's all about when you're out and about, you need that top up. You need to dash in, and rather than, you know, the fossil model of wait till your tank is empty, fill it up again, that EV behavior of always charging, top up here, top up there, and then when you're on a big road, the rapid charge. So when you say rapid, what speed are you talking about, and what sort of equipment do you have?
We're talking anything from 50 kilowatts up to 150 kilowatts.
Oh, that just got interesting for a lot of people. So 150. So what hardware do you use then?
So we're using Swarco.
Yep.
Spanish We like their kit because of their reliability, very, very high uptime, probably the highest in the industry, and they've got good support service and maintenance. One of the key reasons we went with them was their focus on customers, and we're exactly the same. We want, you know, we've got loads of unmanned or unpeopled, should I say, chargers out there. It's not like in a petrol station. These have got to work. They're easy to use, no credit card, contactless. There is an app. 9 out of 10 people at the moment or customers are using contactless or pay-as-you-go mechanism. They're not using the app, but the app is useful in a number of other ways. There's quite a lot of evidence of app fatigue. So, you know, these are things we've thought about before coming to the market with our solution.
Yeah, the last thing I want is another app, another RFID card, just another thing to lose or forget. So contactless is so useful for pretty much everyone here in the UK now. The podcast did a little Sweden special a couple of weeks ago looking at the EV market over there. When I got a cab from the airport and I got cash out, the driver just looked at me. I mean, there everything is contactless. He was like, no, I don't want cash. So they're slightly ahead in terms of us, in terms of being a cashless society. But here in the UK, plenty of people seem happy with just tapping their card and off they go.
Absolutely. We get a very positive response. And as I mentioned earlier, 9 out of 10 transactions are using credit card or contactless.
Right. So in this country, for anyone who's listening outside the UK, we have a one company that started very early and have the kind of motorway, the freeway service stations, if you like. That contract is kind of looked after by one company and everybody else is kind of filling in the gaps. And so they started very early with technology that was available at the time, and then maintenance becomes a big issue when you've got so many chargers. So how do you deal with, I mean, all of your hardware, of course, is newer at the moment, but how do you deal with maintenance and people saying, I need to call the number, this isn't working, or it needs a reboot or a reset?
We've put a lot of emphasis into getting this element of our customer service right. And it's really key to the success. If you're going to run an EV network, you've got to get this bit right. The fact that we've gone with really, really reliable kit. We've also got a four-hour call-out in terms of maintenance. Yeah. It's written into our leases with all our partners. That's part of the deal. That's why they like us. Yeah. If you're looking at putting this kit in with retailers or partnering with big retailers, you are providing a service for their customers. They have high values in terms of existing customers. They have loyalty schemes, all the rest of it. You need to provide that service 24/7. So we have a call center 24/7. And we have maintenance 24/7. We've put a lot of investment and time into this element in order to get it right.
You have a renewable energy deal so that at least if people charge at your rapid chargers, they know they're driving green.
We do indeed. I mean, that was really one of the requirements of what we were offering. I think if you're going to not put green energy through that charger, we know that certainly at this stage of the market, EV drivers, our early adopters, are very conscious of that. Being a requirement. What's the point of having a car if it's going to be from fossil fuel electricity? So yes, we have a deal with Solarplicity. We also have we're looking at other partners as well in order to ensure that we can have green energy throughout our network.
It's amazing how so many startup companies treat that as a no-brainer. So that is integral to your company, and so many other people who are having to move into this space, for them that's a really big consideration. But as you, as a new company from scratch, you could think about sustainability and being an ethical company.
Absolutely. That is really core to our customer offering. It's essential, and it's actually something we didn't even question. What is expected.
So there was a more recent piece of news we picked up, which is why I ended up coming down here today to chat with you guys, and that was about a new deal with a company that has the land and you can bring the chargers. Is that right?
Correct. That is fundamentally our model. So we're looking at tying up deals with landlords, 15-year lease minimum, and in return they get a share of the profit from the revenue generated. So they share in our success. And that seems to be, a model that they like. So we're looking at landlords with car parks in towns and cities with amenities and dwell time. So we've just recently done a deal we've announced with M7. They're a big retail property fund in the City of London, and they own a whole lot of retail parks around the UK. So we'll be putting our chargers into the entrance of retail parks, where they have an array of retail outlets with different types of dwell time. So for instance, they've got Costa, they've got KFC, McDonald's, they've got Dunelms, they've got supermarkets. They've got a lot of retail, you know, where the charge time and the retail time fit very nicely. And we actually looked at, you know, we had the debate about rapids and slows for this environment. Mm. And our drivers want to get in. They don't want to charge their car for 4 hours. They want to charge their car as quickly as possible and do their shopping and get on with their day.
How do we solve the problem? So we popped into Tesco's over the weekend, big supermarket here in the UK, and they've got a bank, maybe 4, maybe 5 7 kilowatt posts. And a couple of them were iced. Somebody had their hybrid just parked there, but not plugged in, but we could still plug in. And then we spent half an hour in Tesco's and it was a small top up. If that had been a single rapid charger, how do we educate people? Is it with signage? Is it with persuading? You know, because you don't look for what you're not looking for. So when you are off to buy a car, you're very excited. You drive home that day with a new car, and then all of a sudden you see 12 of them on the way home. You know, you start spotting things because you weren't attuned to seeing it. So yeah. I just genuinely think fossil car drivers aren't looking for electric car chargers because it's not even on their radar. So in many cases, I don't think it's their fault, but how do you educate people?
In terms of avoiding having to get in the way of other EV drivers.
Or hybrid drivers not leaving a rapid plugged in for 3 hours.
I think
overstayed fees, that kind of
thing. You're right. It requires education. Firstly, we wouldn't put our chargers in front of the store, i.e. the prime location.
Thank you.
We tend to put our chargers at the entrance to the car park.
But why is that? Why are all the best car parking spaces disabled? Obviously have to be. Parent and child obviously have to be EV chargers. I don't mind walking 2 minutes if you put it at the other end of the car park.
I think it's because slow chargers, the retailers put them in themselves and they've gone off their own store on the power.
Right.
We have to get a separate connection. That's expensive. So we tend to go to where the nearest point of connection is, which tends to be on the outside of the site, not in the middle of the car park. The last thing Sainsbury's want you to do is dig up their car park.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't want to do it either because it's expensive.
Yeah.
So maybe by default, they're there in the entrance, but not in front. So we have clear signage for rapid all-electric cars. For all-electric cars, rapid charging. Hybrids, we have a slow charger.
Right.
So we try and put the hybrids on that charger, the 22, and we put the all-electrics on the rapid.
Our recent most visit to IKEA, the previous company that I mentioned that do the motorway services here, they have a 45-minute limit. But because there was a Tesla blocking the only charger and it was Type 2 and it was locked into the car, they were there when I arrived. And then we went to IKEA, had lunch. Yeah. 4 hours later, we left. And the car was still there. Now, it had stopped charging after 45 minutes, but nobody else could charge. Thanks, Tesla Model X driver. How do you do things like... how much do people pay with you?
Well, we have... We're allowed to charge up to an hour.
Yeah.
And if they overstay by 10 minutes and if they've used the app, then they will get a penalty.
Yeah, good. And that encourages people to think considerately. And surely as rapid charge speeds increase, so 150, 350 kilowatts, there comes a point where you shouldn't really be leaving your car. There will come a speed where you shouldn't be leaving your car because it's going to be so quick. You should kind of stay with it almost.
Even 150 kilowatts, you know, on a large battery, that's still going to be anything between half an hour and an hour.
Yeah.
So it's still quite a considerable charge time. I think what you're alluding to is 350 kilowatts. Now, that is quite a long way away. That's a big grid connection. That's a big investment. And at the moment, only the service stations are looking at that because that charge time, it fits in with their retail model.
Right.
We've done quite a lot of research with some of the big supermarkets into what they're after, and for them, that's too quick.
Mm. Too much. It's too good.
It's too good. But also, it has huge implications on grid.
Mm.
And therefore, there are only going to be so many places in the country you can go with that. Our early research says, and I think this is backed up by what's happened with EV drivers in Norway, is that this is quite disruptive, this technology, and people are beginning to change their... behavior, their driving behavior, their commuting behavior, their shopping behavior, they're fitting in this with their shopping, etc. And I think if you provide a really great experience around that charge, i.e. it's not a dirty old petrol station in the middle of nowhere, it's actually a well-lit car park and you can go and have a coffee, people will build a bit more time into their day to plan their journey.
So final question from me then, people who are listening to this, any businesses that are listening to this, places like hotels, people where people are going to stay even for an afternoon tea or a stay overnight, you think there is a business model in terms of when we go to a hotel stay and we say, hey, you should put chargers in, they would say, what's in it for us? And I go, well, you'd probably have to pay for the electricity. It's anything between 15 and 20 pence a kilowatt hour here in the UK on your... And they go, well, I'm not interested in that. But your business provides a way for those almost skeptics, the kind of what's in it for me's, to have that revenue share then?
Yes. I mean, our business model... We cover all the capital costs putting the kit in the ground. Yeah. We operate it free of charge. It's all part of the service that we provide for landlords. This is not their core business. And this kit's expensive, so it's a numbers game for us. But on an individual basis, it's a business model that does not work for one retailer. Therefore, you know, in lieu of rent, we like to share the revenue. Mm. So, you know, which is more than you're going to get from one car parking space.
Yes.
It fits in nicely. No capital costs, no operational costs, no risk, and you get an upside. But more importantly, most retailers, Martin, are going for it because it increases customer footfall and there's opportunity to do loyalty schemes. And from a sustainability point of view, it's great for their corporate message.
People will change their behaviour.
You know, we often have the debate about, oh, so many are going to charge at home, so many are going to charge at business. Yeah. So where does that leave your type of business model? Well, our business model is we're going to have the best chargers, some of the fastest chargers in the country. So it's convenience, the premium convenience charging, premium top-up. Yeah. And people will get caught short. Yeah. They will need a top-up. We've seen it with Tesla drivers, and they get everything for free at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and they still use
they still
our
get
chargers.
Caught short. Well, look, with a 22 kilowatt-hour Zoe, I'm caught short all the time. So as many top-ups as possible. If people want to find out more about your business, what can they follow you online? What's the best way? Is it socials? What's the best place they should go to?
There's socials, there's LinkedIn, and there's obviously our website. Find me. I'm here, Patrick Sheriff, Business Development Director of Engini, having a great time building this network out in the UK. And with Investec, our backer, we're actually beginning to look at other territories beyond the UK.
So I might be coming back in the future to talk more then.
Absolutely. We've got some very exciting deals about to announce.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. We can say no more. We can say it. But stay tuned to the podcast. Patrick, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much once again to Patrick at Engini, the entire team as well, for welcoming me into their offices earlier this week to bring you that Saturday special interview. And if you have any comments, questions, feedback, let me know. You can do, if you want, on the blog, evnewsdaily.com. There's a feedback form. You can email the show anytime. Hello at evnewsdaily.com. And the YouTube and Facebook comments as well. Funny story, by the way, they have the most incredible view of London, one of the world's great cities, and they are on the 27th floor of a massive building. When I went to go see them, there are 6 different lifts. Could I find my way to the 27th floor? Could I? Heck, I visited pretty much most of the floors until Dora, who is their marketing manager, eventually had to come out and fetch me like a lost child / lost dog and welcome me up to the 27th floor, where they have the most incredible views, and then teach me how to use their lifts, which was only mildly embarrassing. Let's get on to this week's question of the week, set by MyEV.com. You know the team at MyEV.com help us make this show. They're in North America for buying and selling and learning and researching about used EVs as well. A ton of cars and vehicles on there now. MyEV.com if you're interested in dipping your toe in the water or even just window shopping. If you want, by the way, to answer this week's question of the week, there's a brand new way for you to answer it. Here's the question, though. Either present or upcoming, which EV are you most excited about? You've got a day to answer this because on Sunday, tomorrow, I'm going to read out all your answers, so be quick. If any car is that you are excited about, either on sale now or coming soon, what is it and why? And it can be trucks as well, because lots of people are... I won't give it away. Naming all sorts of different kind of vehicles. So this new way that you can leave your feedback then for question of the week, well, you can check out now MyEV.com. The team at MyEV.com have added a new section for you to leave your comments. If you want to go to the website, you click on research at the top, and then you'll see question of the week. So if you want to go online, MyEV.com, then click on research at the top and question of the week, and that'll be a place where you can leave your feedback, see everyone else's as well. And you can use the usual places like the YouTube and Facebook comments and the email address, which is hello at evnewsdaily.com.
com. Thank you very much to 120 patrons of the show. And if you are one of those, as always, I shall read your name out tomorrow on the Sunday podcast when we go through all of your answers to question of the week. In the meantime, this is show 299. There are 298 previous episodes, most of them news, but a lot of them interviews as well on our Saturday specials from all the usual places you get podcasts from. And you can subscribe, which means you haven't got to think about the show. You get it first and free and automatically. In the meantime, catch me on the socials on Facebook, LinkedIn and Twitter. Do have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.